Welcome to Spirited Word. By God's Word proclaimed, the Holy Spirit works faith in God's grace in Jesus, when and where He pleases. Sermons by Pastor Adrian Kitson, Lutheran Church of Australia.
A reading from the 13th chapter of the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, beginning at verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, have you ever come across the term crowd support? Have you heard of that term on your computer screen? It does appear sometimes on your computer screen if you're at some website, some place on the internet. Crowd support. Wow, what is that? It appears in the world, the strange mystical world of computers and digital things. Apparently, there's a whole crowd of people that are just waiting for you to press that button or to make that phone call or to send that email, and they will just flock to you and fix all your problems as you navigate the weird, strange world of digital technology, computers, internet, phone companies, etc., etc. I think on the Telstra website is where I first came across it, if you're a Telstra customer. Crowd support, a whole crowd of people, not just one person, ready to be at your beck and call if you need advice as you keep navigating your way through this strange world we've developed called the internet. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the Holy Trinity on Holy Trinity Sunday, of course. Once a year we ponder the, well, is there a word? Imponderable. It's so difficult to understand the Holy Trinity. What a mystery. I guess that's where you always end up. It's a mystery. We're not quite sure how to get our head around the mystery of God being one and yet three. Three and yet one, as the Athanasian Creed tries to capture. Well, it is true. Could it be true that we might be able to view, to believe God to be our crowd support? And not just for navigating the strange world of my computer and my phone, but my life, my relationships, my purpose, my meaning, my sense of who I am and who everybody else is and who God is and what I'm here for. Those big questions. Could it be that God is your crowd support for the really important things about our life? Even more important than phones and computers. I think you can. Well, I think it's not a bad image, don't you think? Crowd support, God's a crowd. He's not one, he's three, but he's one, he's three, he's one, he's one, he's three. God's a crowd. God's a community. God is a communal God. Let us make human beings in our image, that first reading said. We can be absolutely sure that we've got God's support because he's told us in many, many ways in the pages of Scripture and in our own experience. He's made us part of this holy community, part of his holy community. We have a seat at his table. We share his meal. This first happened, of course, in the font, in water and word, where he grabbed us and adopted us into his family, his community, his crowd. If we're happy to go with this picture of God as our crowd support, I am. Well, it seems to me with that kind of support available to me, God's support for everything important in life, then I can be more confident that I'm never alone, ever, and that I'm never without help. and that I always have good support for all the issues that I face. God tells us we have this support. He's included us in his crowd. He gives us his support. We're baptized into his holy crowd, and we are forever attached to God, who names himself our Heavenly Father, our Saviour, our Counsellor. So whether you're big or small, whether you're thriving or struggling, whether we're in complete unity or conflict, whether we're feeling positive or feeling weighed down with doom and gloom, whether we're living in freedom or under persecution, whether we are in the right, sometimes in the wrong, we are in community with the holy community, God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we as a church are his holy community, for better or for worse, a mission outpost of the Holy Trinity. This is the grand vision of Paul as he writes to the people, the Christians, in the fair city of Corinth. He writes from the other trading city of Ephesus, and in Paul's estimation, this is who they are, and maybe we would say who we are. Made holy in Christ Jesus, called to be holy people, together with holy people in every place who call on our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, 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 three times. Set apart, special purpose, special meaning, special place. What a vision of the church that is. Not just Sunday mornings for an hour. Everything. A holy God with a holy people for holy purposes. It matters, you know, that God's our crowd support, because with his support for all of life, we become who we are called to be, people of hope and people of life in a community where hope and life are not always given. It's a great vision. I like to be part of this church. But of course, the vision can always be shattered, and it's not by God, it's by me and you. We're the ones who shatter this grand vision of the church. How do you do that? Well, we're the ones who limit God's vision of us and who we are. And we do that by not pressing that button, not seeking his support, his crowd support. Maybe we're like the guy, you don't have to put your hand up, but this is how it usually works. You get the flat pack home from IKEA, and you see the instructions there, and you put them to one side, and I'll be right, we say. Instructions? Support? Help? Who do they think they're talking to? I don't need instructions. I don't need support. I don't need help. Goodness me, I do things my way, the way I like to do them. I work alone, thank you very much. But why are there six screws left over? I wonder where they're supposed to go. And why isn't it quite straight? And why isn't it sort of coming together as it looks in the pretty picture? This is our human tendency, isn't it, folks? Men and women, young and old, to do life, our life project, under our own steam, thank you very much, cutting ourselves off from other people and from God, and somehow believing it's all up to me. I've got to make everything work. Goodness me, what a trap that is. It usually doesn't end very well. And if you read through the pages of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, well, that's pretty much where we end up. Just as a bit of a recap, and we went through this about 2 months ago, I think, as we pondered our theme verse for the year, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are co-workers in Christ, if you remember. Okay, what a litany of bad news the Corinthian church had become. Out of order generally. Division, some follow Paul, some follow Apollos, some follow even Christ. Wow, as if he's just another guru. Power-driven, egocentric division is death for the Christian community and its witness. There's some kind of persistent immorality in the church there, and it seems to be of a sexual kind, 1 Corinthians 5. When that is rampant, people get hurt, relationships get destroyed, And Paul urges them to make immediate changes to their behaviour in 1 Corinthians 5. There are Christians who have taken their fellow Christians to court over really petty minor issues. There's some kind of disorderliness in public worship. There's egos getting out of control. Something's happening. There are people publicly raising doubt about the resurrection of Jesus. Bad theology. And there is a decided lack of love, as we know, among the people in that particular church. But still, somebody must be seeking the advice of the apostle who founded this community in the first place. They ask him some questions, and in his first letter he responds to the questions. Do you remember? Marriage, what is it? How do you live it? Eating food that's already been offered to pagan idols, how do you do that as a Christian? And of course, the big subject of spiritual gifts. And Paul says that this congregation is richly blessed and it has everything it possibly needs, but it's very, very immature. 1 Corinthians 3. Well, we discover that this local church is still not seeking God's crowd support because Paul has to write another letter because things are getting a bit worse. 2 Corinthians is a response to those in the congregation who are now openly treating Paul's word with disdain. And they are calling into question his apostleship and his authority to teach and preach and lead. And some seem to be even running him down personally. It's getting personal, just like our politics these days. And as we know, it always ends in tears when this starts happening. So what do we do? Well, we don't do anything, thank goodness, because right at the end of 2 Corinthians, there is a magnificent picture of beauty, the beauty of our triune God, because it's pure gospel, right at the end, and we heard it read before. God, the one in three, still speaks and still calls his people together into his presence. He still calls his isolated and self-centered people back. He loves them. He still offers his full crowd support, one in three, three in one, even after they've probably chucked a hammer at the computer and thrown it out of the lounge room or chucked all that furniture out in the rubbish tip. He still offers his crowd support, his presence to them, even when they've ignored him completely. How is this so? This man, Paul, who has received painful and vindictive words from these people, they've questioned him as a minister, they've questioned him as a person as well. He still gives his full support to them, even with all of that, because he has Jesus' full support, and he knows that, and he trusts that. He is a baptized, called person made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he never ceases to keep saying that all the way through all of his letters. And he speaks of the unconditional love of God, unconditional love of God for these people and for me and for you. What does he say? The what? The grace, the undeserved love, the unmerited love. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God is who is who? Our Heavenly Father. And the communion, the community, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with who? All. Be with you all. Grace, that's the help button. That's God's, the nature of God's crowd support is his grace. Everything is done, even his challenge. And his naming of our trouble and our sin is done in grace. So you can trust it. Grace for life. Grace for aging, death and dying. Grace for doubt and faith. Grace for fear and trust. Grace for human pride and true repentance of the heart. God's support is grace support. And it reaches to everyone. No one deserves it. And no one can earn it, only receive it. So when you are graceless and mean, our Father still graces you. And when you are hurt and dismissed, the love of the Saviour still affirms you and upholds you. And when you're feeling alone, when you're grieving, when you're lost, when you haven't got much help, or it seems like that, and you're struggling to find the hope, the Spirit breathes and offers power to overcome and to keep you in God's preferred future for you. Friends, we are the imperfect crowd in the perfect crowd, the Holy Trinity. By God's grace, we stand and nothing else. We haven't got a leg to stand on except Him. We are part of His table. We share His meal. We share the holy fellowship of faith, all by His invitation, all by His changing us. We're part of God's crowd. We have a future. We have God's unstoppable crowd support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the thing is, you've got to hit the button. You've got to press the button to get the crowd support. You can't just do whatever you feel like and pretend it's all up to you and then whinge that God isn't working with you. You've got to hit the button. You've got to seek Him. And you've got to mean it. You've got to seek Him. And He's everywhere. And He's available. And He's always willing. You've got to seek it. You've got to press the button. So as you do, as you say, I do need help, and I do need God's word in my life, and I do need the fellowship of faith in my church, and I do need everything that God can give me, then we will have a deep peace. And we might even break into a bit of joy now and again, sometimes quiet, sometimes loud. We will always be able to give and receive because we receive. We will find the confidence, so much so that we may even bring Jesus into the conversations that we have Monday to Saturday. We'll find the confidence in doing that. We might even find a will, a real will, to seek the conversation of a friendly looking stranger and bring Jesus to it. We will have a vision of ourselves that's something like Paul had for that Corinthian church. Despite all their troubles, they were still the holy community of God with God. So I say, or I believe God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit says to every person here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the power and the fellowship and the counsel of the Holy Spirit be with everyone. Amen. The peace of Christ, which is beyond all of our human understanding, keep you in the holy fellowship of our holy God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Pastor Adrian serves at St. Petri Lutheran Church, Nuriutpa, Barossa Valley, South Australia. stpetri.org.au